Welcome to the Road Ahead Cafe. Hang on to your hat and enjoy the ride, because you're about to get some powerful insights and practical hacks that will take your daily life to the next level. And now, here are your hosts, Rick, Frank, and Peter.
Welcome to the Road Ahead Cafe, and we're so excited to have you back with us today. And today we're going to talk about creative visualization. This is a book that came out, I think, in 1979 by Shakti Gawain. And I actually got it as a gift from my brother, my older brother, which was really instrumental on starting me on my spiritual path. Peter, let's talk about creative visualization.
Yeah, thank you, Rick. And welcome back, viewers and listeners. We're back. We're here for you. We're offering you the insights and the mental hacks that can level up your daily experience. And my personal goal, my mission, as always, is to help the helpers, you folk who are out there every day doing your best to be supportive of all those people whose life have gotten a bit messy. So what is this book, Creative Visualization, by Shakti Gawain, actually published in 78? There you go.
Wow.
This is one cover. They've got a new cover now. What does it have for you today? We're going to tell you, because 1978 is probably the dark, dark ages for some of you, but it was a busy year for me. I was managing a vegetarian restaurant in Ottawa called Mango Tree. I got to wear all white and look all vegetarian-like. I was studying psychology in Ottawa at Carleton University, pioneering pathways into the emerging study of lucid dreaming. And I was teaching, among other subjects, creative visualization at the Ottawa New Age Center, 95 Rideau Street, just down the street from the Parliament buildings, if you know Canada. We in the New Age field at that time loved this book because it outlined pretty much what everyone was teaching. Creative visualization has always been selling every year very, very well. Shakti made a few changes to clarify some points and some deepen some concepts and updated the book. She re-released it in 1995. And even though that was 26 years ago, this book still speaks wisdom, mostly, that you can use right now in everything you do to help others and, of course, yourself. Why do you absolutely need to read this book? Stay tuned, because we're going to tell you. Back to you, Rick.
Great stuff, Peter. Wow, what a terrific journey. And I can appreciate, the timing of this. And it is one of those things that's timeless. Frank, what are your thoughts about this great book?
I got the same copy.
It is, right?
That was wonderful. And we all have the one version. Okay. It's our, to put it, visualization Bible. I can remember I was in my first year at the university studying pedagogy and juvenile delinquency. And it wasn't actually not a study book, but I liked it so much because I start to use it in my second and third year with some of juvenile delinquent juveniles, because how to help them to visualize a better world. So I was actually looking forward how to do that. And I did it more or less secretly, because this was not a scientifically approved book. No, not at all. So my university professors somehow, some way knew that I did it, but didn't want to talk about it. And that was my first step. And see how this works so greatly. So I'm very grateful to Shakti Gawain by putting out this book and giving the world this kind of information, because until today, besides maybe some wording and so on, the core message is still very true and very valid. And that's why we want to talk about this in this show. And I use this as change facilitator in my own business, Frankwise. But, we share this stuff with you freely because we all think this is so extremely important to focus upon. Rick.
Thank you, Frank. Yeah, great stuff, too. Again, the history of this and our own journeys, even though many of you think that I am older than these two guys, I was actually, 79. I was like 17 or 18 years old at the time, so still in high school. And getting this kind of information at that age, I remember back, I remember a story when I was a child, seeing all the things that were explained to me in my mind's eye. I remember being, you know, 5, 6 years old, just looking at my toys and thinking about things and reading, being so hungry. And every concept I read, I would see these things in my eyes. I would see this almost like a visual representation of everything. So I would tell other people, you know, when you tell me these things, I see them. So I would see much more than hear or, you know, so for some reason I was a visual being, but no one talked about that at that time. No one said, oh, you're able to see these things. And then I remember wishing and hoping and praying and then watching things materialize in my life. So I had no idea at the time what I was doing. I was a big daydreamer. So I was that kid in class who was just sitting, you know, looking at the clock, and then the clock would become, you know, another daydream or something I wanted to do after school. Certainly wasn't listening to what the teacher was saying, not consciously anyway. And then even now, you know, seeing things and dreaming things and then manifesting them. So hopefully today, if you're listening and watching, you'll learn some techniques to grow with, and you'll learn to follow your intuition as we dig deeper into this incredible, important topic. Peter, back to you.
Thank you. So this book, Creative Visualization, goes way beyond just using mental imagery. While Shakti explains thoroughly just how to use visualization, that is just the launch pad for more. Throughout the book, Shakti recommends using affirmations alongside creative visualization, and she does a pretty good job explaining how to use them most effectively. Of course, our own episode on affirmations is way, way better than what she writes, so do check out that episode. But Shakti has some solid stuff on affirmations in here for you, all written down neatly, clearly. Shakti also touches on how to use visualization to do healings, to create an inner sanctuary where you could just meditate and relax in, and to improve so many aspects of your life, including relationships, which is a very important component of life. She gives plenty of examples, which is really useful. She gives additional techniques, meditation, tapping into your energy centers, using a treasure map to set goals, clearing blocks, and more. There's even a workbook you can buy that goes with this book if you choose to go that route. In fact, until my wife Jeannie and I re-release our book from 2000, Beyond Intuition, you need this book in your life right now. And there are three things I'd like to highlight about this book today. And we want you to know that while this episode of the Road Ahead Cafe is about Shakti's book, Rick, Frank, and I will be back to do an entire How to Do session episode on creative visualization later on. So get on the email list so that you don't miss that. But first, a caveat. The views of Peter M. Fellows, that's me, are not necessarily shared by my co-hosts, Frank and Rick, mostly because they're smarter than me. But I should just let that out here. I don't speak for all of us. Having said that, here's the thing. I don't get this law of attraction stuff that Shakti mentions. And by the way, just as an aside, you know that thing about how the law of attraction was a secret suppressed by Darth Vader and his dark, powerful minions? No. People have been talking about the law of attraction for years and years. But what Shakti says that I don't quite see is that different thoughts and feelings have different vibratory frequencies, which sounds nice. And I admit that during Mr. Charanjit Wadera's grade 12 physics class, I nodded off sometimes. I mean, it was hot in there. I'm pretty sure we never covered the differing energy frequencies of thoughts. Now, she gives an example of making dinner. First, you have the thought of having your dinner, and that magnetizes energy from the universe, which pours itself into materializing your dinner. I'm not so sure about that, because usually when I think about having dinner, it's my wife, Jeannie, who does all the work and materializing and not the universe. Now, I'm not saying that there isn't an energy component to all life. I think there is. I'm just that I don't really see the point in suggesting that if you think hard enough about a person, the energy frequency of your thoughts are creating an energy magnet which compels that person to enter your life whether or not they like it. And I remember being a teenager and visualizing very hard on a movie star or a model coming into my life, and it did not work. I'm just telling you, it did not work.
Yeah.
We have that debate later. I just wanted to touch on it, put it on the table for future discussion. The second thing I want to mention was Shakti's mindfulness approach to everything she does, because while she's not using that word, you'll find that in much of the New Age literature, it speaks about how important it is to be mindful in your approach to creating the life you want, not being too attached, thinking of the greater good, going with the flow, all those things. They don't always use the term, but mindfulness is very important to the success, as Shakti points out, of your creation of reality. And the third thing I wanted to mention was Shakti's material on meeting your inner guide. Shakti writes, "All of us have the wisdom and the knowledge that we need right within us." And this is a most overlooked truth and a huge part of the new book I'm writing, Pathfinding the New American Mindfulness. And Shakti says that this inner guidance is available to us through the intuitive mind. And she offers the technique of creative visualization for creating a sort of an avatar, your inner guide, to represent that aspect of yourself that I call the deeper self or pathfinder. Now, this is pure gold, and it's worth the price of admission in itself. So in Creative Visualization, Shakti's book, you have a book that is littered with diamonds. And all you have to do is to wander through the pages and pick up whatever attracts you. Back to you, Rick.
Good stuff. Wow, Peter. That's tremendous insights, and love what you're sharing there. I've got some good stories about this, but we're going to go back to Frank and hear what Frank has to say about this. Frank?
Well, Peter, you told a lot about this book, but I want to add something. And I think this sentence was still in the book, and I read it right now. She says on page number 10, creative visualization, always end your visualization with a firm statement to yourself. This or something better now manifests for me in totally satisfying and harmonious ways for the highest good of all concerned. I repeat, this or something better now manifests for me in totally satisfying and harmonious ways for the highest good of all concerned. This is the core of the book. This is the core of my work. And this is the core of the Road Ahead Cafe Boys, as we sit here, because this or something better opens up other avenues of exploring other roads. You never know what's going to happen, but you have visualized the idea to manifest, to make concrete, to make it happen in my life. Totally satisfying and harmonious. Satisfying is that you are joyful, and harmonious means that it not is against someone. You don't grab it, you don't steal it, you don't hold it, you share it for the highest good of all concerned. That means within your visualization, always there are people or people involved or circumstances or whatever, maybe animals you are somewhere. Always there is a context. And you do it for the highest good of all concerned, of all connected. This is the core, for me, of Shakti Gawain's visualization.
Beautiful. So true.
Very powerful. Thank you for that.
We will put this on the mail, and we put this on our website. I mean, I think this is a wonderful quote we can use. Different times. It's not our quote. We share it, and I think we thank you for Shakti Wayne for this quote. I think it's wonderful.
Thank you. So I was thinking when I was reading through this and reviewing, I remember a story when I was a young kid. My dad had an auto body shop, so I grew up, fixing cars. So I remember seeing this wreck. I go in there, you know, and I was in the shop as a kid, literally in a stroller. So when I was about 9, he told me that I could come to work and, you know, start working in the body shop, because that's all I wanted to do was be there. So I remember seeing this car in the corner, and you know, the wheel was bent. I mean, it was just like wrecked. And back in those days, you know, it took a lot to make a car look like that. So I began to think about this car, and, you know, he said, this is what we're going to do. We've got to take it all apart, and then we're going to do an estimate, and then, you know, we have to fix it. So I was thinking about what it looked like, and remembering, again, this visualization of, you know, what would this car look like when we were done with it. And so again, as a visual person and a creative person, my father was actually an artist, and he had to go into the Merchant Marines as a young guy in World War II. So he put his art career on hold, and then he eventually got into the auto body business in order to make a living to support our family. But the way he used to repair vehicles was kind of like an artist. So I grew up with this art in mind, and everything that we did, all the repairs were always visual. You know, we were making things look beautiful. So, you know, in referring to the book, Creative Visualization, there's so many ways to use this technique. You can use it in a physical way, in sports. I remember when I was a young player and visualizing, you know, I was a baseball player, a soccer player. So hitting the ball, catching the ball, striking someone out, scoring a goal, stopping the other guy from, you know, getting down near our goal. All these things were visualized prior to me actually doing them and seeing the end, you know, this result that I wanted. Emotionally, Peter, earlier you mentioned relationships. This is a terrific place to use creative visualization, because if you can think about the other person, as Frank said, what's the good for all involved? I know that in my own relationships, especially my marriage with Carol, I'm always seeing a bright future. I use the phrase each day better than the last whenever I tell somebody how long we've been together. So I'm actually visualizing tomorrow being better than today. And I've been doing it for 34 years. So I'm not going to stop now, folks. In the mental area, in our work, what the three of us have done by coming together, we saw something and now here we are doing it. And it's very rewarding, very purposeful. And of course, in the spiritual realm, with personal growth and development, we're always seeing ourselves as a better version and a higher self. So that's one of the reasons you're listening and watching today, is because you want some of that yourself. It's already happening here. So thinking about when you visualize something, that it's already there for you. You don't have to wait for it or hope that it comes someday. It's already there. I am a big Wayne Dyer fan. So when I was coming up, he was one of my mentors, rest his soul. And I remember reading Seeing is Believing many times as a young person. And then all of a sudden, one day I saw Wayne Dyer said, believing is seeing. So he reversed it. And he said, when we see something and then we believe it, that's how we make that a reality. Taking energy is our tool, connecting to it with creative visualization, super important. In the book, Shakti says there are three necessary elements to make this work in your life. One is the desire of creating something and seeing something new. Two is the belief in it, that it can be real or it's already there. And then third is the acceptance of it. And she says the sum total of these three equals your intention. The three of us are always talking about intentions. As a matter of fact, before we record these episodes, we get on and we set the intention for this show so that we can deliver something valuable to all of you. This stuff is in my heart. It's proving out in my higher self. I know Peter loves to talk about source, and that's where this stuff lives. And it's all about healing and the ultimate good for all involved. So just a terrific tool and something I've used my whole life, as my partners have here. Peter, any final words on this?
Yeah, I want to point out, not everybody in our audience visualizes. my daughter, for example, doesn't really see, Natalie doesn't really see visual images. And Shakti addresses that in her book. And this is one reason I believe that she uses affirmations so much, because it's a more verbal thing. The synergy between them is fantastic, is great. But when I say to you, think of your bathroom, if you don't see images, if you have a different way of thinking, she still addresses that in the book, which I think is wonderful, and how you can still use visualization even though you're not actually seeing images. So I think she's done a wonderful job. I'd like to mention that in case people don't realize, she did pass in about 2018. Shakti's no longer with us, but she was responsible in 1977. She started a little business, a little publishing business, her and Mark Allen, called the New World Library, in their kitchen, basically, where they shared an apartment. And that's gone on to become this incredible, powerful, new age type publishing house. And I think that's just an amazing thing. And that too was done with creative visualization. So yeah, I think this is a book that should be not just on your shelf, but referred to over and over again, so that you can incorporate these techniques and ideas into your life as you go out there and work with other people or work with yourself, Rick.
Thank you, Peter. Terrific summary. Frank, do you want to close us out today?
Yeah, Peter, I agree with you. Some people don't visualize that easy, so they are much more in words. So, and I think that's a great combination she made in the book, the visualization techniques correlated with affirmations. What I would like to say is, what you think about and think about, you bring about. That's a different way to say what we are just summarized of all the books, all the things, I should say, what we talked about regarding to Shakti Gawain. What you think about and think about, you bring about. That's a more verbal way to have exactly the same kind of result. So thank you guys for a wonderful conversation about one of the greatest books I've read.
Great. Thank you, Frank. Terrific, terrific closing comments. You know, it's just a wonderful legacy that she left, Shakti and her people. And, you know, I really dug in when I started reviewing and reading the very end of the book. I thought, you know, they were so hopeful in writing this stuff and sharing it back in those days, thinking that maybe someday this wonderful legacy would touch people like us and we would still be able to continue it and to honor her. And there's no better way to say thank you, you know, than in this format. And so if you're listening and watching today, we're giving you the same permission to go out and create your own legacy, say the things that you feel, share your ideas, and give others permission. And looking forward to seeing you next time. Thanks for joining us today on the Road Ahead Cafe. See you next time.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of the Road Ahead Cafe. Hungry for more? Don't miss out. Follow this channel and be sure to subscribe to our email at theroadaheadcafe.com. Thank you for stopping by. See you next time.